It's 6:30 p.m., and I'm late getting into the police station. Well, frankly, no one will believe me, but I got stuck behind a freight train.
I know.
Hi, Al. Is Sergeant Perkins in the office?
Yeah, he's in there, and that woman's back again.
You mean that same one? Yeah,
third time this week. She's in the office with him there now.
Oh, okay.
Well, by the way, my name's Don Reed, a police recorder. You're going to join the detective unit tonight and follow them on their investigations. And while you listen, remember, the people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now back to police headquarters and police recorder Don Reed.
And we own that house.
Here in the Detective Bureau, Sergeant Perkins is taking a complaint from a gray-haired woman sitting across the desk. I'm familiar with this case inasmuch as she has filed several complaints before against the same boy and his family. As I recall, the Juvenile Bureau has never been able to find sufficient evidence to take any action up till now. Well, let's see what the difficulty is this time.
Very few people in Culver City. But when we bought that house, from that day to this, if I hadn't been annoyed by this son of his now, who is a moron and strikes me as being a creature of some unusual juvenile depravity. He doesn't seem like a normal creature at all. And he has two teeth that stick out like a rabbit. And he does everything he can think of to annoy me. Jump up behind the hedge on the sidewalk when I'm in the front yard watering it and hoosh at me and growl at me like an animal. And I just drove out of the driveway now to get my daughter. And he sprang across the parking, which is 12 feet wide, and stuck his head in the window and shrilled at me. Well, I tell you, I wasn't afraid of the boy, but the shrill was so unexpected in the car there that you have simply got to send word that if his son bothers me once more, that you have instructed me, that is if you're allowed to swear out a warrant for his arrest. He's over the ages of 7 years, and he is amenable to the law. And if he wants his son to grow up that way, he's got to grow up that way, the way he is, but not around me. I just can't take any more. And once I caught that boy committing a nuisance in my front yard. There's nothing as low as they are. I have given up voting. I didn't vote. I didn't vote these last six or seven times just because I don't want to come in contact. Well, it just gives me the cold shivers to go into that place at all. I haven't been in there since. That's over a year ago. That was one time when he came in there in the yard thinking nobody was there. And he, committed a plain ordinary nuisance. And I just can't take any more of that.
How long ago did this happen?
Huh?
How long ago did this incident
happen? Just now.
Just now. You came right up here.
Yes, I came right up here.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll have Miss Pinkston in the Juvenile Bureau take your report, and they'll follow up and take the necessary action.
He can walk on the sidewalk because the parkings are practically dead the way the city don't cut the weeds down, and I can't afford to spend $10 a month to a man to do it. The city should do it. And I think they're mentally, there's something wrong. But
you don't know this boy's first name, do you?
No, but it's the only boy they have.
Okay, we'll talk to him. And if you have any more trouble with him, you let us know.
I certainly will. This is the third time I've been up here about that boy.
Okay, well, we'll take care of it. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks for trying to help me. I know how hard it is.
Well, we'll do everything we can for you.
We have the best police department in Culver City or anywhere around here.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
And I will allow my husband to retire police lieutenant from New York City.
Well, fine. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Well, two sides to every story. Let's go. We should have been in the field an hour ago.
How come you were late?
Would you believe me if I told you I got stuck behind a freight train?
No.
That's what I figured.
Control 1 to car 50 at 3800 Jefferson. 3800 Jefferson. Northwest corner. Meet the man. Take your 484 report. KMA 394. Control 1256, come in.
56, go ahead.
Control 1256. Unit 52 requesting you meet their unit at Overhill and Denton. Overhill and Denton. They are holding 2459 suspects.
56 to 1, Roger. We heard their call. We're on our way there now. See you in a minute.
Control 1-56, 10-4.
As you heard, we were en route to this location when we got the call. Actually, we were just cruising when we heard 5-2 reporting to Control 1 that they were holding 2459 suspects, and we decided to roll over there. Incidentally, 459 suspects means burglars. Through the next signal, and we'll be there. Up ahead, a police unit has a car jammed into the curb. Red lights flashing. We're sliding in behind. One of the uniformed officers, Don Ellis, coming over. Let's see what it's all about.
We're going west on Washington. Saw these two fellows in back of the gas station. They took off. The car was parked on the side street and jumped the car. We made a U-turn and chased them to here. In the back end of their car is a car radio and an air cleaner. And they said they stripped it off of a car down here. And another guy who kept on insisting he bought it tonight for $10. They also told us that they stripped some tires off of cars at the same location. They said they were abandoned, so they went ahead and took it.
Which is the one that talks?
The one on the left. He's just got back with his wife, and he's scared of getting in trouble. We don't know how much trouble he's in, but he's got enough burglary tools and that kind of thing. And I don't know what they've done to the gas station. We haven't had time to check the gas station again. But as soon as they saw us, they hit this car. They said they were in there getting water for the car, but yet the car's sitting out in the street.
Let's talk to this one fellow.
Over to the patrol car. Two suspects in the back, guarded by Officer Chuck Sarlo. Big fellow, calm, handcuffed.
Sergeant Burton.
What were you doing back at the gas station?
We just went in to get some water.
For what?
That's all for his car.
The back of the gas station?
Well, we just came around the back and we were coming out.
In the car?
Huh?
Where was the car?
The car was parked right alongside the seat. We went to see if the hoses were in.
Both of you went in? Why didn't you drive in?
We just parked the car on the outside, that's all.
Who's the car belong to?
His.
It's his?
Yeah.
Okay. Get back in the car.
Second suspect. Medium build. Nervous. Handcuffed.
Can I get some water?
For what?
My car.
Car need water?
Yeah.
Where'd you get the radio?
Off of the car.
Whereabouts?
Down by dirt road, was in a ditch.
That area in the west end?
That open stretch.
How come you didn't drive your car in the gas station to get water?
I don't know.
Park it out in the street and then you walk back in to get the water?
See, the pumps were open.
Why didn't you pull in the gas station?
Probably because I've already made the corner.
Let's see what he got in the car.
In the back seat? New car radio, other parts, carburetors, spotlights, new tires.
More tools in back and then pull back in, but you can see the cutters, the clippers.
Well, I'm going to cut the wires on this radio. They're cut off short.
I wonder what they have in the trunk.
Here, I'll hold it up for you, Doc.
What's he got back here?
Well, there's screwdrivers and a little pry bar, about 3 inch pry bar.
I think you got a couple of good burglary suspects. Book them on burglary.
There was a gas station Sentinel on Worston Place was used with a 3/4 inch pry bar last night.
Take this, keep this as evidence. In fact, book all your tools. I book them all on suspicion of burglary. Book both these fellows.
Okay. And you want those clippers and the radio out, too?
Take the radio and those tools up in front. Now, look, there's a tire wrench right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the one that comes with that car. That one right there is haunted. One you got. I think that's all you need out of here. In your report, put down the fact that the regular tire wrench is with in the back of the car. Plus this one here, which looks new.
Well,
that's a good one.
Says mother gave it to me.
Well, that's nice. Maybe we'll sack mother up, too.
Yeah, that's fine. About 3 o'clock, isn't it, we call? How's that about 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
5-2, we'll transport the two prisoners back to the station.
Don?
Yeah.
Want to make a bet about this radiator?
No, frankly.
Look,
that's what I figured. Full of water.
We have another chair over here.
This is the interrogation room, Detective Bureau. Ellis and Sergeant Perkins are going to question suspect number one. Officer Chuck Sarlo bringing him in. Still calm. Unconcerned.
Sit down, fella. Where did you get the car radio?
Out of it's either a 50 or 51 Ford. It was on a side street, dirt road, in a ditch.
Toward the Redondo Beach area?
Yeah. It was in the bean fields, more or less.
It looked like that car was parked there or just ran there.
Abandoned.
It was abandoned. 51 Ford?
Mm-hmm. It was nosed and decked.
Or if that car would be hot.
I don't know. Better go down and check it. Make sure that car's there, because if I go down and find it, the car's not there. It's there.
It's white.
Did you take anything else out of the car?
No.
Where'd you get the air filter?
Oh, that was off this car.
Same car?
I forgot about that.
How about the tires?
No.
Now, what about this crowbar you carry?
That I carry in my toolbox.
Why?
Well, if there's a rusted nut on something, I can pry it out. Or to take away grease off of some fitting or something like that.
That crowbar fits some of our burglars, you're in trouble. You've got no business being in a gas station that's closed 3 o'clock in the morning. And that line about wanting water in your car, you'd driven the car in the gas station. You wouldn't have parked it down on the side street. You can cooperate or you don't have to cooperate. It doesn't make any difference to us.
Oh, well. The deal is, start from the beginning. He wanted a Ford generator. This generator just went on in his car. And so we went out looking for a generator. We saw this Ford parked down there. And we needed a radio, too, so we stopped and got the radio. And we were looking for a generator. And went by the gas station, stopped, and took off again. You guys caught us.
What were you doing at the gas station?
We looked at a Ford convertible.
You lifted the hood on it?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you take off then?
Not a darn thing.
What were you going to take off?
Generator.
You didn't have a chance, is that what it was?
It wouldn't fit.
Okay, take them on back. Bring the other fellow and move down.
Come on, Marcus.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. The people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. We switch you now back to headquarters, where a burglary investigation is in progress, and to police recorder Don Reed.
Sit down, Paul.
Suspect number two. Very nervous. Chewing on a cigar butt.
Old lady.
22.
Who do you live with?
My wife. And son.
How old is your son?
3.
You know what you've been booked on?
No.
Suspicion of burglary, which is a felony. Are the tires and wheels on that car?
No. Oh, on the car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The door was open. And it was in the ditch. One of the wheels, I think, was in the ditch.
What's your wife going to say about this?
Oh, murder.
How well do you know this other fellow?
About 4 months.
Does he pull any jobs?
I don't know. I don't run around with him that much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just as much money as it was him.
How about the radio?
Well, I saw it, and I said, knowing we were looking in the car, and I saw a radio, and I said, I could use a radio, and that was my idea.
Did you contact him about this getting a generator?
No. We were asleep already when he came to the house.
What did he want when he came down?
He just wanted to tell me about his girlfriend or something. I don't know. He said some guys were going to beat him up or something. He wanted me to go with him tomorrow. That was today already.
That was this morning early? Or
yeah, about 1:30, I guess.
How about the car in the gas station?
No. That was just one of them things, I guess. It should have known better.
The wrong time.
Yeah, I guess so. Not the wrong time. Just shouldn't have done it, period. It's too late now.
We have a reason to believe that this friend of yours committed several burglaries. Right now, you're stuck with him on it. He's got some tools in the car, and one of them's a pry bar, crowbar, that's identical to the one that's been used on several burglaries. Both ends of it, the round end, like this pen, and the other end, the square blunt end.
Funny part about
them.
Some of those were gas stations, too.
Now, we feel we have sufficient evidence to book him on burglary. And because you're with him in back of a gas station, we think we have sufficient to book you, too. And to get a complaint on it from the district attorney, which is a felony charge. What'd your wife say about you leaving tonight? Did she say anything?
She was almost asleep. I said, honey, I'm going off for a few minutes. She was half asleep. I said, I'll be right back.
Looks like your wife's going to get wrong end of this whole thing.
Yeah, I know. We were going to take the kid out to the beach tomorrow, too.
Ellis, you want to take the key to his car and his money here down to his wife? While you're there, check the car they stripped and get the license number and what other information you might need. We're going to book them both on suspicion of burglary.
Yeah. Working in a uniform car now with Officer Don Ellis. It took us about 20 minutes to locate the car stripped by the two suspects. We're coming up beside it now. It's on a dirt road just off the highway. A convertible, front wheel stuck in the ditch.
Yeah.
Brief picture. Man stretched out on the front seat asleep. Radio's been torn out. Dashboard cut up. 3 tires missing. Boy, this guy is really asleep in there.
Here we go. Come on, wake up, Paul.
Waving that flashlight didn't do any good.
He opened his eyes.
Did he?
Hey! Let's go. Let's wake it up now.
Yes.
What do you say? Come on. Sit up there, boy.
This is a fine thing.
Okay, sound asleep.
He's got the car door locked on both sides.
Just open the door.
Well, now he's stirring around. No, he isn't. He's turning over and going back to Slade. Now we're going somewhere. Yeah. Now we'll move around the other side of the car. He's opened the latch on this side.
Just open the door on the other side. This one's all jammed in here.
We'll get around to this side of the car now. Playing games here.
Is this your car, Phil?
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
Your car.
Your own leg? Yeah. I drove off last night, so I parked it in stuff tonight.
You got your driver's license registration with you?
Right. Had it run through last night. Somebody held back out that side.
You got your registration for the car?
Yeah.
My girl.
Your girl.
Mm-hmm. I took a taxi and she called Cat. She went home.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came back here and sacked into.
You want to take a look at your car and see if there's anything missing?
Well, the radio's gone.
Mm-hmm. We got the fellows that stole it.
Well, good for you. No kidding.
No. Now, would you, make a report on it?
Let's see. Other things, I don't know.
How about your air cleaner?
Well, I doubt if there's anything in there.
You notice the motor is blue, Don, the same color as that air cleaner was.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you paint that to yourself?
Yeah, it's a rebuilt motor. We painted the whole thing in there. Yeah.
Well, how'd you get mixed up in this here hole?
Well, last night, I came down here to park, and I guess I turned before the street did, and oh, golly, we had a heck of a time, so.
Got a mad time the rest of the night.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we did the rest of the night, all right.
Meanwhile, you went out. These guys come along and started to strip your car.
Yeah, that's right. So I didn't even know it. I didn't know a thing about it. I don't know where they came from. I got in the car and ready to go to sleep. I looked around. Things were missing. Stuff all over. Yeah.
Well, this is a sort of an odd setup. This man's half asleep, so let me recap. He got his car stuck here a few hours ago and went down to the corner to get a taxi to take his girl home. He returned here to sleep till daylight. Meanwhile, our two suspects stripped his car. So that leaves one more detail, notifying the wife of one of the suspects that her husband is in jail. It's getting very late now. Over in the east, the first light of dawn, heading up to the suspect's house. Small bungalow, modest. Couple of milk bottles on the step. Sign on the door. Absolutely no solicitors. Do not knock.
Police department.
Trying to rob his store or something?
No, he's was with a fellow and got some tools that matches on different burglaries that we have been looking for, but he has them there trying to steal a car radio.
A car radio? Where is he at?
Culver City.
Oh, Culver City.
Trying to make it easy as possible.
Your car keys.
Just mentioning the car radio. Nothing else.
There's money down to you, so you'll have to. I'll have to have a receipt for the money.
What should I write?
Receipt, $10.20.
Keys and money on the table. Wife writing a receipt.
Go receipt, please. translated. No, he's very cooperative with us.
I'm so shocked. I'm shaking. I'm burglary.
Sorry, I have to bring you some bad news.
Thank you very much. I'm so...
Half asleep, mixed up. We understand you.
I don't even know what to say. I've never had this before. I'm just so shaken up and so... They admitted to take a radio. People hold up stores. They hold up banks. They hold up... they go rob houses for money. I don't know. A car radio. He'll serve time in jail yet for stealing a car radio.
What you have just heard is real. Every voice, every sound, recorded just as it occurred on the Night Watch. And now we return you to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight we have heard another set of problems facing the police officer of today. In the first case, the woman filing a complaint may seem very unimportant to many people in the overall picture of police work. But to her personally, this represented a major problem in her life, and consequently an investigation was conducted. However, no evidence was uncovered to warrant action of our juvenile bureau. The final investigation involving two men booked on suspicion of car burglary, they confessed their part in tonight's case and also of participating in another similar event, of which they were found guilty. The maximum penalty being 1 to 15 years in the state prison. Night Watch is brought to the air through the cooperation of a great many people, including suspects themselves, because many of them realize their mistakes and are willing to allow their stories to be brought into the open in hopes of deterring some other person who may believe he can get away with it. If we can reach just a few of these people and bring home this message, then there is a meaning, a purpose to Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of your police department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.